And beyond that, God loves you. And God loves you with an unconditional love, and He will forever love you. It would be a horrible thing for any of us to turn down that expression of love from God. And that expression of love from God is His only begotten Son. And the Bible calls Him the express image of God. And He came to show us the Father. And if you want to know what God is like, take a look at Jesus in the Gospels and see what He says and see what He does. And He's doing only those things that He sees and hears His Father do. And He also said to the disciples, He said, now listen, you say, show me the Father. But I say unto you, have you been with me for so long that you do not yet recognize that if you've seen me, the Lord said, you have seen the Father. So it's not like God didn't make Himself known to us. Matter of fact, He came, and one of the most powerful things that God did was He determined that He was going to give His image off to a human form. And then He was going to live in that human form. And so we are that vessel. We're that temple that God chose to live in. And thank God for that. I don't know about you, but my life has been forever better since I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Some people go all their life being a Christian and never really experience the real presence of God. And I'm telling you, if you experience that just once, twice maybe, once is good enough. You will think, I need more of that. Can you say amen? I love God, and I know you love God, and it's good to keep that love out there, because the Bible says it's through that love that we're perfected and that we become more and more like Him. It's not that we're not birthed into life instantly in the Spirit, because our spirit man is instantly renewed into the image of God. But then we begin to conform to the image of God by listening to what the Word of God says about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you know your mind hasn't fully accepted the full concept of who you are in Christ? And so that's why we're doing what we're doing here today. We're preaching the Word of God. We're teaching the Word of God so that the Lord Himself can express to you what's on the inside of you. And then when you get your head in line with your heart, the spirit person, you're going to be a lot more powerful a vessel in this life. We all know we're going to have a really good time in heaven. Amen? But you know what the Bible says? As Jesus is now, so are we in this world. I want to ask you a question. How is Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father. He's totally well, not one iota of sickness, disease. There ain't no COVID in heaven. It never has access in heaven. Here's the key, and I know some of us have battled that stuff, and I don't know about you, but I am not going to grow weary in doing well. And we don't base what we believe based upon what happens to us. We base what we believe based upon what the Word of God says. The Word of God says Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sickness. And we stand on that regardless. That's our starting point, thank God. It's not that we get attacked and then we try to get there. Bless God, that's where we are. The enemy's trying to take us off of the foundation that we stand on. And that foundation, the Bible says, cannot be shook. Glory to God. And you can preach this word, not just me, but you as a vessel, because we're all called into the ministry of reconciliation. You can preach this word yourself. And you can preach it confidently. So, well, what about? Well, what about the Word of God? They never ask you about what the Word of God says. They just ask you about some experience. Amen. I remember one time a friend, somebody asking, how do you expect me to believe in a God I don't see? And my friend asked this person real quickly, says, do you have a brain? And the guy said, yes. And he said, well, how do you expect me to believe something I can't see? People that don't know Jesus don't see well. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm just saying that they don't see. Because we do have to be able to see Him who is invisible. The Bible says in Hebrews that that Moses endured by seeing Him who was invisible. How do you see Him who was invisible and is invisible? Through His written word. He reveals Himself through this Word of God. This Word of God is forever settled. This is not a passing fad. It's still the number one seller in the world. Ever since this Bible was put in print, it's become the number one seller, period. Amen. Well, people are finding out that the Word of God is true. Everybody say the Word is true. Glory to God. How about some jokes to liven things up? You know, I say stuff like that, and I hope you don't misinterpret my aggressiveness, but I really do believe that we need to be aggressive in our stand. Aggressive in our stand upon the Word of God and trusting in that and not backing off because of what's happened in this place or that place, and we just don't back off. Amen. So here we go. A thief stuck a pistol in a man's ribs and said, "Give me your money." The man replied, "You can't do this. I'm a congressman." Thief replied, "In that case, give me my money back." The man told his doctor that he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he used to do. When the examination was complete, he said, "Now, doc, I can take it. Tell me in plain English what is wrong with me." "Well, in plain English," the doctor replied, "you're just lazy." The guy said, "Okay, doc, now give me the medical term so I can tell my wife." Now, this is like a really dumb, you got to think about this. So, I'm standing at the wailing wall, standing there like a moron, holding a harpoon. Okay, who doesn't know what the Wailing Wall is? In Israel, the Wailing Wall, where they go and pray and you see the Jewish people, they stick little notes of paper, and that's called the Wailing Wall, W-A-I-L. And this guy misinterpreted that was the wailing, W-H-A-L, that you kill whales with harpoons. You have to be sharp to get my humor. Now, if you happen to be Mormon watching this, this is not a criticism of you. If you happen to be a former Mormon on this, I am trying to make fun of some things, but a Mormon told me that they don't drink coffee. And I said, "A cup of coffee every day gives you wonderful benefits." And he said, "Like what?" I said, "Well, it keeps you from being Mormon." Okay. Listen, you know what I do is I try these jokes out here, and I get a chance eventually to try them out in Topeka. And they give me pretty much the same response you do. So either I'm going to have to improve my jokes, or you're going to have to improve your humor level. Probably the former. Our God's a good God. He is an absolutely wonderful Father. And I thank God that we can trust that. Amen. Boy, we live in a day and age that just absolutely... I don't know about you, but I tell Debbie a lot. I say, "Debbie, I don't know about you, but what's happening in the world just makes my backbone stiffen a bit more. I get a little bit more stubborn in Christ. Because everybody's trying to shove their unbelief system down our throats. And we're not going to take them. Amen. We're going to stand for the truth, walk in the truth. I had listened to, let me pray before I start. That might have been good in that way. You guys may have laughed if I would have prayed first. But Father, we bless you today, and we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the life of God. Father, you so loved us that you gave us your only begotten Son. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust in him and know that we have eternal life because we confess his name, and we bless you for that gift, Lord. And so, Lord, we invite your precious Holy Spirit, whom your word says is the teacher of the church. And we invite your presence, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, and to point us toward Jesus at every turn in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. Well, I've mentioned here a couple times, I know that I've watched the series called The Chosen. And I absolutely love that series, and they have two seasons of those done and complete, and I've watched all those, and they got a third season coming. And that app is free if you're just gonna, and you would love watching it. I promise you. If you don't like that and don't love it, you probably need to meet Jesus. But how they show Jesus, the characterization of him, is absolutely phenomenal in how he deals with people. I love that. And I love that the fact that when Jesus comes and interacts with people, he interacts with them in a human form, but he's got the all God thing going as well. But he really deals with people just naturally. But he deals with them naturally, supernaturally. And so, there was one episode when Jesus was walking by everybody in this, Jews and Romans, didn't like tax people, didn't like those who were collectors of taxes. And Matthew happened to be one of those. And Jesus had walked by that way several times. In this particular moment, Matthew was trying to implicate Peter in maybe some tax fraud. Peter was doing some things he shouldn't do. I mean, this is how it plays out in that. And Peter didn't like him at all. Peter really took issue with him. And so one day, after Matthew had seen a miracle, the fishes, and telling Peter and cast his net one more time after they'd been out all night looking for fish, Peter said, or Jesus said, cast it one more time. And Peter said, Lord, I've done this all night. And Jesus said, cast it out. He said, okay, at that word, I'll cast it out. And then they brought in enough fish to pay all the back taxes and all that kind of thing. And Matthew was watching from shoreline. He was trying to incriminate Peter, trying to get him in trouble with the Roman government. Well, I'm getting ready to show you a little clip. But this clip is coming to that place where Jesus and the apostles that he has chosen up till then were walking by. And as Jesus walked by, he turned and looked at Matthew and said, Matthew. And Matthew, I love the character of Matthew in this thing. He goes, looks at Jesus, and Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew goes, me? Jesus just smiled and said, yeah, come on. But anyhow, there's an and when Matthew comes out and the Roman guard that's watched over Matthew, because people like to kill tax collectors in that day. And so he had his own Roman guard, and that Roman guard tried to stop him. And there's a conversation that goes on with Jesus, and Peter is the one I want you to hear. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, and I'll explain that a little bit more after this clip. So if you will, run the clip. I love that part. Peter's arguing about him, about that choice. And the choice to Peter was not a normal choice, because nobody liked this guy, including Peter. Peter had great distaste for him. And Peter, in talking to Jesus, said, Jesus, this is different. This guy has defrauded many people. And didn't say those words exactly. And Jesus looked at him, get used to different. And I want to tell you today that I believe God is wanting us to get used to different. And that simply means, a lot of times, what does different mean? Well, it means to be different. And well, I love Webster's when they give that definition. Look up the definition of different. What's it mean? To be different. Thank you. But when you're different than something, you're not the same as that something. You've changed. And one of the things that the Word of God talks about when we come to know the Lord is we are made perfectly inwardly, but then we begin to renew our minds with the Word of God. We begin to hear the faith message. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We begin to change line upon line, precept upon precept. We begin to be more like Jesus. We begin to think more like him. I love the song that has the phrase in it, more like him, less like me. And that's what I believe Jesus is drawing us into every day of our life, to be more like him and be less like me, and allow him to affect the real you, and to let that real you, if you will, come out. Because to live for God is the best life there is. To live the way he wants us to live. Excuse me. The way he wants us to live is far reaching compared to what we've had to do in the past. I believe that the life that I've lived probably could have been better than I've experienced. And that's not God's fault. Typically, that would be my fault. But the more I press into being close to Him, the more different I become in how I think, how I react to things, things that I used to react wrongly to or maybe more quickly to. I don't so much anymore. It just seems like things change a little bit because the character of God begins to come out of me. And I love the way Jesus talks about that. I believe Jesus is telling us on a regular basis, you know, my life is different because you're in it. And the Lord will always be saying to you, well, get used to different. Get used to it. Because you are going to be different. I told my kids growing up, I said, you know, we're not better than other people, but we are. I said two things. I said, we are better off because we know Jesus. That makes us different. Knowing Jesus makes us different. And that is a good thing. And we're challenged all the time because God doesn't just call us to come into the kingdom of God to warm a pew for the rest of our lives, but He called us, the Bible calls us the ecclesia, and that simply means we are the sent out ones, sending us out into the world where people need to hear the good news. Can you say amen? And so that's us. And so we need to be different enough that we have the boldness to share Jesus with somebody else. Somebody that maybe doesn't know them. Somebody that maybe would mock Jesus in front of you. And we take issue with that. You know, I had had people make fun of me and friends I grew up with. They made fun of me when I became a Christian. And that didn't bother me because I wasn't out to try to win their approval. I wasn't out to win a popularity contest anymore. I was out to just try to please God. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I made my mind up. I'm going with God. And that meant that I had to make some changes that caused my life to be different. And all of our lives should be different if we know God and we stay close to God and we live for God, we trust God, we allow Him to do in our lives what He wants to do. And Jesus, when He came to this earth, grew up and began to walk among men, I'm telling you, He did things that turned things upside down. The Jewish people could not stand Him because everything they believed, everything they stood for, He said, we're turning that upside down. And Jesus was one of the first ones to show us that you can walk on this earth in the middle of the devil's domain because the Bible says earth is Lord and all the cattle there and everything belongs to Him. But in the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell, he turned everything over to the enemy. And Jesus literally come into the domain of the enemy and took authority. And He took back everything the enemy thought He had. It had to be a bit disconcerting for the enemy. And what you and I need to know that when we become different, then we become people who are dangerous to the Lord. When we become different, we become different in Christ. We begin to live for a God whom they don't see. And yet we have a world that's just enraptured with crazy, stupid movies about stuff that is amazing. They'll believe a movie before they'll believe the Word of God. In some cases. Not all. But let's look at, because I'm going to talk about a few things that are different. You hear a pastor say this all the time. I'm one of them. We are a people that have been called out. And we are a people that have been called to assemble on a regular basis. Everybody say on a regular basis. And the Bible says, even as you see the end time approaching, the Bible says we are to come together even more. And because there's strength in that, we grow together when we come together. And so I wanted to just maybe re-encourage you and to some degree and just saying, you know what? Don't mind being different. I don't mind being a Christian publicly. I'm definitely one privately. But I don't mind being one publicly as well. I'm going to testify to the goodness of God. And if you agree with that, say amen. We're going to start in John chapter 5, verse 17, just one verse. Jesus replied to the Jews. They were a little bit upset because He had healed somebody on the Sabbath. Isn't that a horrible thing to do on a Sunday? or whatever the Sabbath is to Jews, starts Saturday night at 6 o'clock and ends early Sunday morning at 6. I think, is that right? Friday night and then Saturday morning at 6. Thank you, Mr. Rabbi. And but the thing about it is, they were upset because Jesus, on the day that they were supposed to not do one iota of work, Jesus said, I'm working. And I'm working the things of God. And what he was saying was that no day is off limits to the perfection of God. No day. When I get there, and if Jesus lives on the inside of me, Jesus gets there. I do believe this, and I was talking to a friend just recently. This guy works hard, and there's a lot of you that work hard. But I think it's so important that we realize if God in his wisdom saw fit to take a Sabbath, we in our wisdom should see fit to take a Sabbath for our life. And we just rest from work, and it's in a way, it's just honoring God and saying, God, I believe that all the work that you did was perfect, is complete, and it's complete in me. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, that we are complete in him in Colossians 2:10, somewhere in there. The Bible says we're complete in him. And so when we come around to a day, we need a day to rest our bodies. Not a day to rest doing work, but somehow be able to pull back somewhat. Sundays, even more so for me, Sunday afternoon, my body's going, nap time, nap time. You need a nap now. And that's because your body needs to rest. And I really do believe if we had rest that we'd get more accomplished the other 6 days than we would if we just went ahead and worked 7 days in, 7 days out. Years ago when my daughter Melissa was still in high school, she was working for a local company, and her boss worked 7 days a week, and so he called her in Sundays. And I said, well, you can go in Sunday afternoon, but you're not missing church. And she said, well, Dad, he works every Sunday. And I started telling her how much I disagreed with that. And Sandy was listening to me tell Melissa that. And so Sandy asked me a question real quick. She said, when's the last time you had a day off? I couldn't remember. I could not remember the last day. Not that I worked that hard, but I mean, I work Sundays. I work Saturdays. I work every day of the week. And I didn't just take a day off to take a day off. And it had been long enough that I'd forgotten when that day was. Now I try to take off as many as I can. But the thing about it is, that rest really is, it is for your physical well-being. It is to get your mind renewed, so to speak. But it is to refocus on the completed work of God. And somewhere in your Sabbath, that needs to be there. God, thank you for what you did for us. And every time Jesus heals someone on the Sabbath and brings wholeness to their life, it's just another punctuation mark after what God did is complete, finished, done deal. And all hell can't stop it. And that's what rejoicing, that's what celebrating the Sabbath does. It's just saying, my God did it all. He did a completed work, and he's done it not only in this world, but he's done it in me. And that's an incredible thing to think about, because I thank God that his work that he perfected in Christ Jesus, his only begotten son, has been given to us so that we might live life and live it more abundantly, that we might live life victoriously, that we might live life with the enemy under our foot where he belongs, and that we might be proactive in our walk of faith, living with God the way we want to live with God, experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding on a, if not constant basis, almost constant basis, because we have to fight for that peace. We have to fight for it. And it's called the good fight of faith. That's the language of the kingdom. What's the language of the kingdom of God, Pastor West? Faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, the communication of our faith, if you will. We cannot improve on God's work in us. That work that took place in us when we accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, we cannot improve on that. You cannot make your spirit man better once you've come into Christ. I might get in trouble for saying that. You can renew your mind. You can retrain your body to discern between good and evil. But as far as that spirit man, and listen to me, because I think this makes sense, just common sense. If you're created in the image of God, who is a spirit. And the Bible tells you and me that those that come to him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible also said that the word, Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is truth. And so when we are born again on the inside of us, we are born of God's spirit. There is no sin. There is no iniquity in God. God cannot join up with sin. So if there were to be any sin in your spirit, man, God could not join up with you. He can drive it out when he comes in and make you so that you'll never be contaminated by it. And you by free will, I don't want to get in this either, but you by free will can reject God's grace. I don't know about you, but I don't want out. I like living for God. I like being in the kingdom. I like to know, I really like knowing that this earth is not my home. I'm just passing through and that I'm going to spend eternity with my Father in heaven and with the Lord Jesus Christ, all wrapped up in the spirit of grace. Can you say amen? So Jesus offered to the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, he said, I'm offering you a new Sabbath. Made them mad. Once he said that, they said, we need to stone this guy. What Jesus was saying, I want you to have the fullness of God's plan on the Sabbath, not the idea that you cannot work one iota. You know, the priests always made exceptions for themselves. Amen. They could all been in our Congress. They could have. But he told them, listen, there's a better Sabbath. And it's one where you experience the completed work of God, who just happens to be me. Now, I'm not speaking of me, but Jesus is talking to them. It's pointing to me like I was Jesus saying that to them. The Sabbath is all about Jesus. It's kind of why we're here this morning, isn't it? Well, Pastor, I'm here because my wife drugged me here. Well, that's because your wife has a drag ministry. The fact remains that God has shown to us by his son Jesus that we have a completed work on the inside of us and that we should experience that every day of our life, even the day that we choose to lay aside a Sabbath for the resting of our body. Because I do believe, and when I told my friend that worked so hard, matter of fact, he'd been remodeling my restrooms in my house, and he'll work right through weekend through Sunday. And I said, listen, and he's got a little bit of physical problems from stuff. And one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. But just because you're a hard worker all the time doesn't mean that it's going to keep your body well. Amen. Amen. Good preaching. I know people all the time say, well, I had to work. Well, have you ever asked your boss if you can maybe work your schedule out so you could not have to work on Sunday morning so you could go to church? I'm just saying, is that a possibility? Most boss people would like to get you at least any time. Nowadays, people don't even show up for work. And they let them come back because they need so much help that they'll put up with stuff they normally wouldn't put up with. Amen. They'll let you off. Well, can I just come to work at 1:30? Well, yeah, we can work that out. Amen. Work should not be an excuse to miss church. Matter of fact, when it comes my time to leave this earth and my casket is laid up there and I'm going to have a sign that says, be in church Sunday. It's got to be there. Be there. I just think it's important that we honor what God has done. So we cannot improve on God. And I always say this about, we were singing that song a while ago and I know what the song means, but you keep getting better and better. God cannot himself get better. He's already there. If God can improve on himself, he's not God. But how he gets better is we learn more about him. We experience him to a greater degree. We get an understanding of him that we have not had to date. He increases, the knowledge of God increases on the inside of you. The Bible says, and Peter says, grace and peace would be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that all is available to you and to me, that we could live life and live it more abundantly. But as we feed upon the Word of God, we feed upon who we are in Christ, that is liberating. Amen. Everybody say, this is really good this morning. Here's another thing that Jesus made different. John chapter 2, verse 19. All right, Jesus told the religious leaders. Jesus replied, destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. And they go, ha! Who do you think you are? It took us 46 years to build this temple. And you're telling us, and see, they're always thinking in the natural. He was talking about him. He said, you destroyed this temple, and I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. I think he knew what he was talking about. How about you? And that's why 1 Corinthians says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. That's why, brothers and sisters, the more you release yourself to God in praise and worship, the more God will inhabit that praise. Amen? Because you're getting your body in line with your spirit man. Your spirit man wants to do this. Your carnal man wants to do this. Sit on those hands. But real honestly, lifting your hands to the Lord is a wonderful way to surrender to him. And we should be openly willing. The Bible says, lift up those hands that hang down. Get them up in the air. Rejoice in the Lord your God on a regular basis. So Jesus gave us a different temple. It's not the one that was built in 46 years that the priestly organization, Pharisees and Sadducees, took great pleasure and pride in. He said, this temple I'm going to raise up in 3 days. And they had no idea, no clue what he was saying. They were openly beginning to reject the Son of God. And then also he showed up with Nicodemus. And he showed a new birth. There's a new birth that you can have. And in John chapter 3, verse 1, we'll begin. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. We're not born again from a mother's womb. We're born again from above. And where that spirit comes from and how it blows into our life, we don't know, but we just know it does. I remember the night that I opened my heart to Jesus Christ back in 1973, the spring of 1973. I remember where I was when I was kneeling on the left side of an altar, a two-step altar, kind of like this, and I was clear over against the wall, a little bit smaller sanctuary. And I knelt there as a junior high teacher and gave my heart to the Lord. And my life has been incredibly different ever since. I had friends that would talk to other friends and say, have you ran into Oakley lately? He's different. Different because of Jesus. My in-laws thought I was different. They were a little bit leery of me. My mom thought I was a little different. A little bit leery of me. My sisters, kind of, I mean, because you never know, because, you know, next thing you know, this guy gets born again, and I have one sister that loves the Lord, and she, I'm sure she prayed a lot for me to come to the Lord, and when I did, she was thrilled. And but when I told her I was filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues, that was not so much a hit. But the only thing that has happened to me since the Holy Spirit has come into my life, and I say this over and over again, is this. I've fallen more in love with Jesus because of the Holy Spirit coming into my life. He comes into our lives in a measure when we're born again. I understand that. But there is another move of God in your life. And it talks about that in Acts chapter 19. And when one man is asked, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And he said, I didn't even know there was such a thing. And a lot of people don't, because we've had religious people take the move of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, the glossolalia thing, if you will, the speaking in other tongues, and make that such an issue. But what that is your spirit man praying the perfect will of God for your life by the Spirit of God that lives and abides on it. You can pray the perfect will of God for your life by using the prayer language that God gives you. And that's somewhat divisive at times, but if you would be around people that love God, have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you would see that they love Jesus a whole lot. They don't love Him less. They love Him as much as they didn't realize they could love Jesus that much. So Nicodemus came to know the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Well, because that series, The Chosen, said he did. But there's a good chance that he probably did give his life to the Lord. And there are some that think he became one of the... Well, I won't get into that either. But that's just conjecture on my part. So again, just remind you that what's happening in our lives, when you talk about being different, the language of changing things, making things different, is the language of faith, where you begin to like God, as it says in Romans chapter 4:17, that God called those things which be not as though they are. There is something about the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven, and God just wants us to begin to speak about our lives, what He says about our life. Listen to what it says in verse 17. So as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of Him who He believe God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God is the one that gave us an example of how to live by faith and how to speak by faith. Amen. Another thing that Jesus did, He gave us a different well to draw water out of, the Spirit of water, life. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 14. Jesus said to the woman at the well, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because of his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and you who are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. This well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water, everybody say anyone? Natural water will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. The well that springs up by the Spirit from our belly is something that we can drink up spiritually for the rest of our lives. It has an eternal consequence. It's not just like taking a drink, 8-ounce drink of water. It's taking a fresh breath of the Spirit into your being and allowing that to saturate. And that's what water does in a lot of ways. It saturates that which it is poured on. Numbers 4, verse 24. And we're going to wrap up here a little bit because I want to take communion again. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. It's important that you, that I, begin to live a life of faith because your children are following you. And I often wonder, you know, if parents really get that, because I think if you really got that, you would have your children in more of a position to receive the things of God than sometimes parents do. And this just should be just a gentle nudge to people. Listen, Mom, Dad, you have a great responsibility. And they need to see you sold out to God. And that will make it easier for them. Because the Bible says if you raise up a child in the way they should go, when they grow old, they'll not depart from it. Amen? So it's important that we understand that. It's important that we do that. But just like Caleb, the Bible says he had a different spirit. There are those that have a spirit of faith. And they are just different. They operate different because they come back from the land of the enemy where all that plushness is that God said, that's yours. And 10 of the 12 spies said, man, there's giants in the land. We're but grasshoppers in their eyesight. They just literally look like they could stomp on us. And there's no way we could take it. And Caleb said, oh, we're well able. Let's go get it. And the Bible says Caleb and Joshua went all the way into the promised land and they got the fruits of the spoil. Those other 10 guys didn't. How many of you think it's good to have a different spirit when it comes to the spirit of faith? You can have the spirit of faith or you can have the spirit of fear. Spirit of faith says, I believe what God says and I'll even say what God says. In the midst of inharmonious circumstances. Matthew chapter 5 verse 47. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the heathen do that. Amen. You know, sometimes I found that heathen are more friendly than saints. A religious saint, if you will. Religious people, typically when they find out what I believe, are a little bit leery of me. But I'm different enough and been different enough for a long time. I'm sorry they feel that way because I got something that could really help them. Amen. Being friendly only to your friends. How are you different from anyone else? Even the heathen do that. Be friendly to people who are hurting, that are caught up by the enemy, trapped by the enemy, if you will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is Living Bible. It's a paraphrase, but don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that you do, in all you do and think. And you will learn from your own experience how this will always really satisfy you. God wants you to live this life satisfied. And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, think about those times of your first love, how different now. And turn back to me and again and work as you did before. You turn back to Jesus. How many of you would like for your life to be different in a better way? I would think most people would respond and say, yeah, I would like that. Well, Jesus is the difference maker. That difference will not be realized apart from him. I walk with Jesus. Talk with Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Rest with Jesus. Talk with. I've had moments, I guess maybe why I like the chosen part, because I've had I've had several moments in my lifetime where I'm getting ready to say something that... On the inside of me, I hear this. You're not really going to say that, are you? Well, I'm pretty well thinking about it. As if he didn't know. But that's how he responded to me. I'm getting ready to say something. He says, you're really not going to say that, are you? Well, I would if you weren't here. But there's been times I've ignored that. And it caused me a problem. A lot of times the best thing you can do in certain conversations is bite your tongue. Amen. Easy. I mean, don't make it bleed, but just think about those times of your first love. How much you loved Jesus when you first got started. And it says how different it is now. Turn back. Turn back to that place where that difference maker is actively involved in your life. Jesus, I want you to make even a bigger difference in my life. Can't you agree with that? And it's hanging out with him. Sometimes we hang out with the wrong people. But just know that Jesus is, always will be, the difference maker. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. He made a difference in my life. And I could go through this congregation and I could just say, has Jesus made a difference in your life? And most people would say, a big difference. Big difference. There's some that would say, I'm still waiting. Well, be patient. But a lot of times that waiting is blocked by maybe an attitude, you know, like me saying, well, Lord, I'll take it from here. And that's when you get in trouble. Sometimes he just says, stop. I do that with without a word being said, I can listen to the Lord and I can know that I know that I know that I should not say what I'm wanting to say right now. Don't do that. Yeah, but Lord, they need a little bit of straightening out. Don't do that. You're really not going to do that, are you? Well, it caught me at a conscience-driven moment. I want my conscience to be clear when I go to bed tonight. Amen. I believe God wants to make a difference, not only in you individually, but I believe he wants to make a difference in our church. That we should love the unlovely in a heartbeat and tell them how good God is and will be to those that open their hearts to him. Amen. Thank God we're different. Matter of fact, the Bible calls you in Scripture your peculiar people. Everybody, if you can say this word real fast, look at your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. So, Father, I bless these people. I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I say, Lord, allow the Spirit of difference, which would be the Holy Spirit, to come into our lives in a fresh measure. So that we can walk where you want us to walk, not where we want us to walk. That we can have our footsteps literally ordered of you. And I thank you for it and I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And I'll agree with that said. Amen, amen. Come on up, ushers. Serve the people that which represents the body of Christ. And I'd ask everybody to hold theirs while everybody's being served and we'll all partake of it together. Thank you, Richard. As that passes around, I'm going to read Psalm 91 to you. This is probably a passage of Scripture that in this day and age we should be reading almost daily. Maybe a couple of times during the day to focus in on what the heart of the Father is, the heart of the Shepherd is. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, sickness and disease. He shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Everybody say, thank God. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Anything that's damaging coming to put poison into your life, you put it underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, says the Lord, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Take, eat the body of the Christ. The Bible says in Corinthians that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And so we experience the Passover through Jesus. If he lives and abides on the inside of us, then we have that blood in our lives. We have the blood on the doorpost of our hearts. And we continue to confess that. We continue to profess it. We say about our lives what God says about it. Our households have the blood of Jesus Christ on their lintels, on the doorpost of our homes. Sickness and disease goes over our house. It does not have, spirit of death does not have a right to stop at your house. Amen. And the Bible tells us, Paul said, listen, the truth I received is liberating truth because Jesus Christ paid the price for you. We're different. The reason we partake of communion, because we're different. We acknowledge the blood of Christ that has washed us from all sin. So when this cup comes, take it, drink, and thank God for your redemption. Thank you, Richard. The Bible calls this the cup of the new covenant. It's in his blood. And he says, Jesus himself, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That's an incredible thing. In remembrance of Jesus Christ. They show in that little clip, they show a little bit of interaction with Matthew. But I read to you, I think when I started ministering a series called All In, that Matthew was one of the apostles that suffered a violent death because he was living for God. But he did it happily. You know, you say stuff like that and people say, you mean I'm going to have to die? Listen, we're already called, all of us, to lay our lives down for him. Your life is not your own. It's been bought with a price. That's what makes you different. Thank God for the blood and the body. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys are really, really blessed. You got a great message. You took communion. You're going to get out early. I think we should take up another offering. Celebrate. But that said, by the way, and Brandon and I talk about this from time to time, I never count the offering. I really don't, but we're always thankful that this body, the size of it that it is, it's a generous body. And thank you for your consistent giving. It honors us when you have faith and confidence in what's going on here. Because I believe we preach a good message that needs to get out. And sometimes it does, you know, it does cost a little bit of money to get it there, but it changes people's lives, and that's a good thing. Stand with me if you would, please. My wife Debbie said, say hi to everybody. Hi, Debbie. Amen. Father, I, by faith, bless this people. And I pronounce the blessing of God in every household represented. I pronounce the healing of God flowing in every household represented. I pronounce your health, regardless of what's happened in people's lives. Father, we sometimes argue about things that just ought not be argued about. But one thing that we should be in agreement about is that Jesus Christ died, took upon himself our sin and our disease so that we wouldn't have to be sick. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And God, I thank you for any household that's struggling. I thank you, Father God, that there is recovery because your word says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen, amen. You are dismissed. Tell somebody you like them on the way out of here.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, We invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.